Hi, I'm Andy Hoffman, and I'm a professor at the University of Michigan who's been writing and teaching about business and environmental issues for almost 30 years. It's an unusual combination. I have many people ask me what that's all about, and it really is around framing environmental issues as business issues. How can they businesses solve air pollution, climate change? Well, develop new electric cars, new renewable energy. This has worked for most of my career, but in the last 5 years, I've begun to question whether this is actually going to lead to the solutions that we need. And I've come to the answer that we really have to rethink certain aspects of business. And more to the point of this book, we have to rethink business education. Whether you're a business student or an alum, whether you're in business or not, or really anyone who cares about our world, the messages in this book are critical. If we keep producing business graduates who care only about making their wallet fatter, and exploiting a broken system, then quite frankly, we're doomed. We have to create a different kind of business leader, and business schools are the place to do that. That's the major thrust of this book. It's a strong indictment and a strong provocation to change business by changing the graduates we produce that go in and run those businesses. I'd like to offer you 5 insights from the book. The first is, today's version of capitalism, what we call shareholder capitalism, is broken. It doesn't work anymore for the purposes that it was designed. It's only been with us since the 1970s or 80s, and I'm not saying we need to throw it out. What I'm saying is we need to amend it. I can even quote Tucker Carlson, who said that capitalism is like a staple gun or a toaster. If it's broken, fix it or get another one. I'm here to say we need to fix it. Why do I say this? Well, there are many key concerns in the market, but 2 in particular stand out. One is climate change and the other is income inequality. These aim being caused by the market, and the market as presently structured is unable to address them. If we don't turn course, we will not solve them. While some people conveniently call these problems externalities or unintended consequences, they're actually the product of the system as it's designed. We are creating these problems with the market as it's presently structured, and the consequences could be catastrophic. We're already seeing the costs of climate change and rising home insurance rates around the country. We all watched in horror the Los Angeles fires and the insurance issues that are coming about by that. But that's minor compared to the total cost, which are estimated that they could reach as high as $22 trillion by 2100 if we don't do something and do it soon. In fact, it's best to think of climate change not as an environmental issue, but as a systems breakdown. When you put it in that frame, then you can recognize that to fix a systems breakdown, you have to fix the system that caused it. That system is capitalism. That system is the market. That system is business. But that leads to insight number 2, because not only is our present variant of capitalism failing, our present model of business education is also failing. Today's business schools were designed for a world that no longer exists, one that's fixated on 50-year-old notions of shareholder primacy and a variant of the greed is good mentality. It is ossified into outdated ideas and models about the world, society, the market, business, and the people within them. The MBA in particular has become a product that we sell. It's been packaged for students in its present and unvaried form for decades. It's not changing. We need to change it. And simply adding an elective on climate change or income inequality, while the curriculum remains focused on models and ideas that make these problems worse, it won't work. We really have to change the entire pedagogy, the entire curriculum. How might we do that? That is what my next 3 insights point towards. Insight number 3, it's time to rethink capitalism, business, and the market. Let me begin with a simple question. What is capitalism? Surveys show that young people, Gen Z and millennials, are becoming increasingly disenfranchised with capitalism. It's not hard to understand why. The debt load they carry, the difficulty they have of getting on their feet, makes them feel that the system is not keeping up its end of the bargain. They worked hard to get their degrees, and now they're struggling. But the funny thing is, when I ask my students in a business school, what is capitalism? They don't know. Or they just take it as given. What a strange question. It's like the law of gravity. It's just there. It's always there. Instead, we need to help students understand that capitalism is a set of human-made institutions It's designed by humans in the service of humans, and if it doesn't work, we need to amend it to serve the needs of present-day humans. We need to teach students about capitalism and also to teach them to be stewards of capitalism, to recognize that they have a role to play in making sure that the domain in which they practice their craft works properly. Because there is an important question that is before us right now. The variant of capitalism we have right now, shareholder capitalism, is starting to groan and creak and collapse under its own weight for the reasons I've already mentioned. Unfortunately, all of our business students and almost all of our faculty today are only familiar with one type of capitalism, shareholder capitalism. They don't understand the capitalism that came before that in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, managerial capitalism. And more importantly, they need to have a voice in what capitalism will replace shareholder capitalism. And that's where education comes in. What are the foundations of capitalism? What did Adam Smith say? What did Karl Marx say? What do more contemporary people say? What is capitalism? Where is it going wrong? How can we fix it? Just importantly, we can teach people that there are multiple variants of capitalism around the world. I do this in one of my classes, and I can tell you the students are blown away when they learn about Nordic capitalism and they learn about the massive social safety net in these countries. They're also blown away that they can get away with the tax rate that they do, but it makes for a much more stable society. American capitalism, shareholder capitalism, is just one variant. It's very different than Nordic capitalism. It's very different than Chinese capitalism. There is actually a variant of capitalism in China. And it's important to understand what actually makes capitalism work. What is its essence? How do we keep that? And how do we improve it? At the root of this discussion is the question, what is the purpose of the firm? I could walk up to anybody right now, you listening, my students in my building, people on the main streets, and say, finish this sentence. The purpose of the corporation is to, and their answer will be, make money for the shareholder. Is that true? Economically, yes. Economists have hung on the idea that companies are there to make money for the shareholder. But legally, it stands on very, very shaky ground. If you want to sue a corporate executive because they didn't make the shareholder more money, you're going to have to go through something called the good business rule, which says that they acted in good faith, with loyalty, and with due care. And that's a tall order to get over. The American Law Institute says the company can be designed for any purpose. Even Sam Alito, a conservative Supreme Court justice in the Holly Lobby decision, said the same thing. Companies can be designed to do other things besides make money for their shareholder. It's a good operating practice. Companies should make money. In fact, you can't stay in business if you don't make money. But if you fixate on shareholder value, you start to fixate on short-term thinking. For example, the next quarter, you focus on one kind of shareholder who's very short-term oriented, who wants to dump all their problems on somebody else and only cares about money and doesn't care about the long-term future of the company. And you lose sense of craft. You can take a look at what Boeing is going through right now. It used to be a company that made the finest quality airplanes in the world. And then after their merger with McDonnell Douglas, they started focusing on quarterly returns. They started making the system more efficient. They started making lower quality airplanes that actually started to fail. And now the company's struggling to try and get back the reputation it once had. Instead of saying that the purpose of the corporation is to make money for the shareholder, what if we go back to what Peter Drucker said in the mid-1900s? The purpose of the corporation is to identify and serve a market. How much money it makes is a measure of how well it does that. That changes the order of things and makes for much more healthy companies. We need to get back to that. Insight number four, we need to think more seriously about the relationship between business and government. For example, the question of the role of government in the market today has boiled down to very simplistic dualities. It's conservative versus liberal. It's socialism versus capitalism. It's more versus less. We start to think about what is the right level of government in the market. And that's particularly true today as we see our country moving more and more into the land of industrial policy. In the Biden administration, we had the Inflation Reduction Act and CHIPS, which is very much the government trying to steer the market in a certain direction. And already in the Trump administration, we have a heavy reliance on tariffs, which is also a form of industrial policy to try and protect domestic industries. We can also start to think about what is the role of business in policymaking. Too many of my students think that all lobbying is corrupt, when in fact, business has a strong role to play in making good policy that leads the market in the right direction. And so it's amazing to me how few business schools have a course on lobbying, and fewer still have a course on constructive lobbying. Lobbying in the public good, not individual gamesmanship. And we need to bring this back in. Finally, insight number five, we need to have a fundamental rethink of the business school and what it teaches. To begin with, we have to stop teaching many of the models and ideas that we have. For example, we still teach that the purpose of the firm is to make money for the shareholder. It's embedded throughout the curriculum. We have to start to think about the government less as an intrusion on the free market and more as an arbiter of its proper functioning. We have to stop promoting this unrealistic idea that you can have unlimited economic growth despite the obvious physical, environmental, and economic limitations on such a goal. We have to stop teaching that the environment is an unlimited source of materials and an unlimited sink for wastes. We have to stop teaching that efficiency is always good. I have a colleague who says, we worship at the altar of efficiency. If it lowers costs, if it lowers prices, it's good. Really. So, for example, we have auto plants here in Michigan, and it may be efficient to move them to another country. But what about the people who are left behind? Why don't we factor that into our equations as well? We teach that people are inherently selfish. I think our students come in with an idea that that's not true. And the scary thing is a lot of research to show they leave thinking it's true. And then finally, and not finally, because there's so many issues that we need to change, but we teach that technology can solve all our problems. Just make a new product, a new widget, we'll get rich, we'll solve the climate crisis, and we'll all live happily ever after. It is not that simple. We have to be much more imaginative and creative than that to think about how we can change our society, not just the technology, so that we can actually address the challenges that we face. Once we remove and replace these outmoded ideas, we then need to refill the curriculum with more attention to the whole student. Right now, research has shown that people who apply to business school typically score higher on the traits of narcissism, psychopathy, and Machiavellianism. Research also shows that a business school education amplifies these traits. Students come out becoming more selfish and more self-monitoring. They care more about what other people think of them. I see that every spring when graduation time is coming near and people are looking at salary offers and they measure their worth by how much money they make as compared to everybody else. It's an awful way to imprint students. But there also is evidence that today's students are starting to ask questions. They're starting to really push back on the curriculum they're getting, and they're starting to challenge the idea that business school is merely there to help them make more money, irrespective of who they are as a person and what they hope to do with their lives. The challenge for business schools is trying to take that idea, take that mentality, that spirit, and cultivate it. Help them along a path by guiding them to consider the idea of management as a calling or a vocation in the similar spirit we use to train doctors and lawyers. In fact, early business schools in the early 1900s were trained or originally structured on the idea that we should teach the titans of industry about commerce and service society, just like we teach doctors. We've lost that way. We need to get it back. We need to move people away from the idea of their career as simply a pursuit for private personal gain and towards a vocation that is based on a higher professional and moral purpose. Then we can have really an economy that serves everybody. It's a challenge for us to bring the entire student to the education process and teach not just their heads, but their hearts. Teach not just the how of business, which is still very important, but also the why. Why are they doing this? This involves cultivating the virtues of wisdom, character, and purpose. And I can tell you, I see more and more students looking for this kind of education. So there's my book. It's a big call. It's a big stretch. But I think it's one that we can take on. It's a call to action for changing business education, in so doing, change society. While business in the market is causing many of the problems that we face, social and environmental, the business in the market has to be the one that solves it. The market is the most powerful institution on earth. Business is the most powerful entity within it. Government is important, but it's business with its enormous powers of ideation, production and distribution that can provide the solutions to society's problems at the scale we need them. Business creates the buildings we live and work in, the food we eat, the clothes we wear, the forms of mobility we enjoy, the healthcare system that keeps us alive. All these things come from the market. The market has done wonderful things for us. It is starting to stutter. It's time to adjust it. To properly make that happen, there's an urgent need to nurture a new breed of business leaders who view business not only as a means to profitability, but also as a vehicle to serve society. I hope you'll join me in this call. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy the book. Thank you very much.